Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Thursday night. Welcome in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It is great to have you with us tonight. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you all the way through 8 o'clock this evening. When I wrap up, it's going to be Jen Cease coming in. She's got a city spotlight tonight from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So nothing but sports talk here on KMOX, beginning at 5 o'clock with the Redbird Rush Hour. These next 2 hours of Sports Open Line and the city spotlight beginning at 8 o'clock. As always, if you want to chime in on the program, multiple ways to get connected. You can call or text 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are watching on the video stream on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, you can leave a comment in the chat, and we will get to some of those as we go along through the program this evening. Off day for the Cardinals. They just had a pretty solid series against the A's. I don't think on paper they match up well against the A's. A's aren't a great baseball team, although they're playing some pretty solid baseball here recently, especially up until the series before they matched up against the Cardinals. They were among the league leaders in wins over the last 3 weeks to a month leading into that. So they've been playing some pretty good baseball. Just the fact that their hitters are so aggressive at the plate and the way that team is built and the way they play, on paper, I didn't think it was an especially good matchup for the Cardinals. So I give them credit for being able to take 2 out of 3. The one loss was one-sided. This series kind of is the microcosm of what we have seen from the Cardinals this year, because they allowed 13 runs. And they scored 10 runs. So they're outscored, 13 to 10 over the three-game series, and they take 2 out of 3. I talk about it all the time, the fact that the Cardinals, and I think manager Oliver Marmol specifically, is very good when it comes to the resource allocation and putting your resources towards games you have a chance of winning and not so much towards the games that you're likely not to win. And what we saw in this three-game series against the A's is a really good example. And they lose that first game by a bunch. Yesterday, they were able to add on late. They win 5-1. Really, what turned into the swing game was that second game of the series. And that could have easily been a loss. That could have easily been a shutout loss for the Cardinals. It was one swing of the bat by Ivan Herrera on a home run that just cleared the wall. If he hits that 3 feet shorter of what it was hit, well, then they likely lose that game by a 1-0 score. Instead, you get the one swing of the bat by Herrera, and you win 2-1. So that's, you know, when we talk about winning series and losing series, looking at this A series, there's the fact that a ball was hit 2 feet longer than it, than, you know, one, if it wouldn't have been hit those 2 feet extra to get it over the wall, we're probably looking at a series where the Cardinals lose 2 of 3, and we're talking about it in a very different kind of way. So, yeah, good series. Good job by them. And now I think I'm always careful about how I say this, because anytime I say the P word, playoffs, I immediately get all kinds of messages coming at me about how dare I even say that word, that this is a Cardinals team that is not a playoff club. And I agree. I don't think they are a playoff club. Has the door completely closed yet? No, it is not completely closed. And the Giants are one of the teams that are right in front of them. And while the Giants are going to visit St. Louis, you're going to have the Mets and Cincinnati playing against each other. So I think it's an interesting next few days, and I will be interested to see what the Cardinals can do against the Giants and what things look like when this weekend comes to an end, because I think this is an important series for the Cardinals, and it's going to be fun to see the Giants come in here for the weekend. We've got a lot coming up on the program today. We have a number of guests who are going to be with us. Bernie Miklas is going to join us in about 7 minutes or so. We'll just talk with him about all things Cardinals baseball. We'll talk some City SC coming up later on this hour with Neil Sakic. He's going to be on the call for Apple TV. And then next hour, we're doing a whole bunch of college football. Natalie Jones is the sports director at ABC 17 in Columbia. She is going to join us at about 7:05. And then Glenn Kinley, he is the sports director for, WCIA. I wanted to make sure I got that right. WCIA in Central Illinois. We'll talk Illinois football with him coming up at about 7:20. So we'll talk both Missouri and Illinois football. So many people fired up about Missouri and Kansas matching up on the gridiron coming up on Saturday afternoon. That's going to be fun. I'm a big believer, and I understand why the series got put on hold. And I'm a Big 12 guy. I went to a school that is still in the Big 12 conference. So when all of a sudden schools started exiting the league, as somebody who appreciated the conference that my school was in and wanted to see some of the rivalries remain, I understand the animosity that existed for Missouri and Texas and Texas A&M and Oklahoma, and even though they're back now, Colorado. I understand it all of that, but you always knew that with time, the wounds were going to heal, and they did, and now we get to see one of the best rivalries in all of college football return coming up on Saturday with Missouri and Kansas. I don't know how you feel about Paul Feinbaum. People either love him or hate him. I appreciate him for this, because nationally, the Missouri-Kansas rivalry does not get the respect that it deserves as being one of the top rivalries in all of college sports. And I mean, this is a rivalry that goes back to when these states were essentially first coming into existence. Paul Feinbaum, to his credit, is understanding of this rivalry. And the SEC Network always sends their SEC Nation stuff out, and that includes Paul Feinbaum doing his show on Friday from one of the locations, and he's part of their coverage on Saturday. And I guess just based off, I wish I could credit somebody. I just saw this on social media yesterday. But I guess they wanted to send all that to Lexington, Kentucky for the Ole Miss-Kentucky game, because that's an SEC matchup. And to his credit, Paul Feinbaum reportedly stepped in and said, "Are you guys crazy? Do you understand what the Missouri-Kansas rivalry is? There's no way we're going to Lexington. We're going to Columbia." And I guess Feinbaum's got the power to make that change, and he did. And there's going to be a lot of eyes on Columbia this weekend for a matchup against the Tigers and the Jayhawks. So a lot to get to today. As always, want to join us, 314-436-7900. You can call or text that number. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or we welcome in your comments on the video chat. Bernie Mikulas joins us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it as we roll on here through a Thursday night, a full two-hour program this evening because we've got no Cardinals baseball. They're back at tomorrow. It's going to be a really, really cool weekend at the ballpark with the Hall of Fame ceremony on Saturday, 85 team being recognized throughout the weekend. Just some really, really cool stuff. So hopefully folks get down to Busch Stadium and enjoy it this weekend. Right now, very happy to welcome onto the program. You see him and hear him all over the place. Of course, here on KMOX, part of Redbird Rush Hour, part of Gas House Gang, part of Sports on a Sunday morning. He's part of the big part of STL Sports Central with written and video content, and also doing the Cardinal Territory podcast with Katie Wu. It's our good friend Bernie Mikulas. Hey, Bernie, how are you?
I'm doing good. I got to tell you something real quick. I know we have limited time. So last night, I was watching you doing your post-game show on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I should have concealed my identity and sent you some kind of like nasty message.
Just to rile me up because you like it when I get riled up.
Exactly. See, I guess I was too sleepy to do that, you know, but yeah, I'm going to do that one time. I'm going to ambush you.
Okay. I'll be ready. Yeah, you can ambush me. You cannot sell out on me based off Brant Brown's comments, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yes. What did you think about all that?
I thought it was interesting. That's actually where I wanted to lead off with you. I'm not going to ignore your question, but I want to ask you this question first because you are very savvy when it comes to things like this. Did you think that the message that was sent on Tuesday was a very preordained, predetermined? That was the goal going into that conversation to send that message.
Listen, I wouldn't rule it out, but I don't think so, only because Ollie Marmol and Brant Brown are wired differently. Ollie will be pretty straightforward, but maybe perhaps not as candid when it comes to criticism, because, you know, the manager's in a spot where he's dealing with a lot of people. Relationships have to be kind of strong. Coaches have played the role of being the enforcers, and that's been everywhere. The thing with Brant Brown, and you know this, man, when you ask him a question, he's going to tell you what he really thinks. Like, there's no filter, really, and he doesn't hold back. So it's not like he had an orchestrated plan to come on there and, you know, rip Jordan Walker. But if he's asked a question, what's it going to take to get him gone? And he has a definite feeling about what it's going to take. He's going to tell you what it is because that's how he does things. He was like that when he was coaching Albert Pujols with the Dodgers. I mean, straightforward. Told Albert some things he probably didn't want to hear, but Albert appreciated that. So I don't think they were trying to light a fire, but I'll put it to you this way. I don't think they regret what happened. Mm-hmm. I think they maybe saw that this could be something that got so much attention. It could be something that does get his attention.
Yeah, I appreciated it, Bernie, because I'd heard some rumblings about some things that had kind of gone in that direction, but I'm always really careful. I'm not going to say things that I don't know are true. So I almost felt like, from our perspective, Brant Brown making those comments, it almost opens up another avenue for us to walk through when we're talking about this, because now we have a more on the record type thing to go with moving forward.
No, I agree. Listen, when Jordan Walker, when they sent him down in 2023, and he was very resistant to, you know, putting into practice the swing changes they wanted to see. And by the way, they were absolutely correct in trying to get him to adjust his swing. There's no question about it. But I kept hearing some stuff, and, you know, I heard some stuff again in 2024. It's like, hey, he's a really good dude, Jordan Walker, and everybody likes him, but he doesn't accept coaching as well as some other young players. And that seemed to confuse some people down there. They weren't sure why, because coaches really want to help him, but he kind of has a little bit of a stubborn streak. And I wrote that. I didn't go off on Walker, but I did write that saying, well, there's one thing about him that I'm learning that's kind of interesting. There's, you know, he doesn't just automatically buy in with coaching. He just sort of goes about his own way. And I was getting just clobbered by fans, you know. And, you know, I rest my case. I mean, you have Brent Brown, who Albert Pujols called Ali Marmol and said, this guy's a great hitting coach. It's just what a young team needs. You got to hire this guy. So when Albert Pujols takes advice from Brent Brown and it turns around his late career fade because Brent Brown fixed him, I have a hard time understanding why Albert Pujols loved Brent Brown and absolutely jumped on the advice that Brent Brown gave him. But Jordan Walker doesn't? Something's wrong with that picture.
Yeah, there is. And I've mentioned this a couple times over the last few days. I keep thinking about it. There was a story a couple years ago. I think it was written in Cardinals Magazine, but I'm not 100% sure. And Alec Burleson told the story about going into the cage and seeing Pujols working against the high velocity machine, and Pujols was taking like two or three steps forward towards the machine to make it that much more challenging. You have to react quicker, yada, yada, yada. And Burleson loved it and started doing that. And that's the spirit of somebody who wants to get better, even if the practice is a challenging thing. And yeah, it's taken some time, and there's definitely been starts and stops with Burleson, and the end of the season last year wasn't great for him, but we see somebody with the spirit of, I'm going to do what I need to do during the day to make myself as good as possible, no matter how uncomfortable it is. And then listening to Brent Brown, it sounds like there's a few too many guys on that roster who want to just feel very comfortable in the stuff they do in the afternoon.
Well, that's exactly right. And that was one of my impressions too, that, you know, Brent Brown, and I'm not going to quote him correctly, but, you know, I'm trying to paraphrase. What he said was like, you know, our guys are going in the cage and, you know, we don't hit fastballs well, and we all know that. So I tell him to turn the dial up, you know, get in there and take your hacks against faster pitches, faster than you're even going to see in games, and it'll kind of quicken you up. And you know, I was told later on is that, you know, he'll watch this, and guys are actually setting it kind of easier because they want to like have fun or something. and he doesn't understand that. And you know, let me put it this way: anybody who blames Brent Brown for anything really needs to just go sit down, because anything he says is based on truth and is totally reasonable. You can't hit fastballs 95 plus miles per hour. Okay. When you go in the cage, it's not something you horse around with. Turn that dial up, have that thing coming in at 103, 104 miles an hour. And then it won't be so strange when it comes in 100 miles an hour during actual live competition. What's so unreasonable about that?
Nothing.
It sounds like common sense to me.
Yeah, I like that a lot. In your piece today that you wrote at STL Sports Central, you got a lot into Walker, and I encourage everybody to head to the website and read it for themselves. But you also did a comparison of what went on with him and what the team is doing right now with Joshua Baez, who they are slow playing, who had some major struggles for a couple years in the minor leagues and has really found a new gear this year, which is making people excited about him once again. But it is a good reminder about, like, guys get developed and it takes time, and it's really hard to develop guys at the big leagues if they haven't really been forced to adjust in the minor leagues the way they've tried to do with Walker.
No, that's right. And I listen, there's no set schedule for anybody. It's a case by case basis, but you know, looking back on all the difficulties Walker has had, looking back on it now, and it's much easier to look back on it now and sort of say, okay, maybe they should have done this. But I'm not really being critical of the Cardinals as much as I'm making an observation. I think Jordan Walker was perhaps more undeveloped. He's just an amazing raw talent, but not polished, not that, just sort of that hitting savvy, what hadn't developed yet. You know, learning how to, things came so easy to him. And all of a sudden, it's like he's in slumps. He's in a valley. He doesn't know what to do. He's losing his confidence. And I think you have to, sometimes guys have to fail, and they have to fail a lot before they succeed. And my point in bringing Baez up is, like, here's a high school hitter that was drafted 1 year after Walker, a high school hitter, was drafted. And they were drafted maybe 30 picks apart in their, you know, respective seasons. The Cardinals knew Baez was really raw, and they knew there was probably going to be some real ups and downs, and he was going to probably struggle, and at times it was going to be really bad. But Baez had the benefit of doing it away from – he had the benefit of doing it in small minor league parks, no media paying attention, nobody scrutinizing him, no one making a big deal when he's failing. And he was able to work through his failures and just steadily get better and learn from his failures. You know, Walker, you know, like almost immediately, he had 205 minor league games, and all of a sudden he's in the big league straight from Double A. So when he starts to fail and struggle, it's a really big deal, because it's like, oh my gosh, he never had a chance to, because he never needed to work through those problems as he was making his way to the majors, because he made it look easy down in the minors. And so I think there's something to be said about letting these kids work through their problems. Some failure can actually help them. And I think Baez is an example of that. And Walker kind of freezes up now because, man, everything seems to go so wrong. He can't get his confidence. I think he gets confused. And the only thing that bugs me is that you got so many people that want to blame the Cardinals for this, which is just absolutely ridiculous. You know, by now, you know, Jordan Walker has been around. He should be making adjustments. He should be learning from his failures. And, you know, no one can go in the batter's box for him, right?
No, doesn't work that way. Bernie, we always appreciate the time. We encourage everybody to read you over at STL Sports Central. Your piece today was fantastic, as they normally are.
Thank you, man.
We'll have you tomorrow for Redbird Rush Hour during the 5 o'clock hour, which is great.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauly on King MOX.
Back at it on the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. We are currently efforting Neil Sika. He is a broadcaster with MLS Season Pass and Apple TV, and he's going to be on the call coming up this weekend, so we hope to get him on to preview what City's got going on this weekend. And a reminder for you, Jen Cease, she is going to be on. We'll get you a little bit of City coverage here for just a few moments when we talk to Neil, but if you want lots of talk about City SC, you'll get just that during the 8 o'clock hour when Jen Cease has you for City Spotlight, as City is getting ready for a matchup. They're going to be at home coming up on Saturday evening. Saturday evening. It feels like a Friday to me for some reason. It shouldn't, because the Cardinals always play on Friday. They're not playing, but it feels like a Friday. They're going to match up against Dallas. That's going to be coming up on Friday night. You can hear it on our sister station, Y98. And, of course, you watch it on Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. And on the call of that game coming up on Saturday, it is going to be Neil Sika. He joins us right now. We're joining us on the program. Neil, thanks so much for making the time for us once again. How are you?
Matt, good to talk to you. I'm great. Thanks.
So this is a City team that's obviously... it's not a good year. They're struggling. They haven't won many games. They've had a coaching change. They fired their sporting director. They're not headed to the playoffs. There's not much time left in the season. What can they accomplish? What are the things that you would like to see from City as they match up against Dallas coming up on Saturday?
You know, this might sound a little goofy, but coming as a neutral and calling these games, the entertainment value. And I think... for the fans, not knowing maybe how the roster is going to be shaped next year, but the fact that you've had three straight games, 3-2, even though they haven't gone City's way, I think the value of how they've played under David Critchley, there is a little bit of a spirit and just a sense of let's go for it, even though maybe there has been not the conviction you need to win games, the defensive prowess, the structure, the consistency. Those are all things that need to be figured out. And it's a thing that probably goes beyond the interim head coach's head. But I think he's gone in there with the feeling that, hey, we're going to go for it. There's some life in some of the players that maybe you didn't see early in the year, especially Zhao Klaus. The way they've attacked, I would have loved to have seen a Mekhi Joyner play again this weekend, but he's away on international duty. I think players like Song Bin and Devin Padelfer to have come in from Minnesota, they've kind of rejuvenated, and you see a little bit of a sense of we're getting minutes now. We're getting the opportunity to play. So I think guys obviously playing for jobs, that's an easy tagline when you're out of it. But the entertainment and excitement, like, and I have to give credit to St. Louis's fans. We know the history of what soccer means to this city. The fact that 2 years in a row, you're deep in the basement, you're trying to work yourself out, and the fans are sticking with this team. I was beyond impressed with the crowd in the Houston game. They're down 3-0, 75th minute. You could have the empty seats. I think there's a lot still in terms of where this hunger for a winner and going back to 2023 invokes. And I think next year, David Critchley's even said this, whether he's the guy or not, it's a huge year for the club just to come off of these last two seasons. But I think the entertainment value now that you're getting for the group, it's never a boring game, and I'm looking forward to that because it means a lot to Dallas, too, with the way they sit up for the playoff positions here down the last 6-7 games.
How much of a challenge do you think it's going to be for the organization that you mentioned? Guys are playing for jobs, and there's always video. I'm probably overstating things when I say this, but the person who's going to be making these decisions, whoever the next sporting director is, he or she is not there right now to watch this in real time.
Yeah, no, you've got your president Diego Gigliani and John Hackworth being the technical director. There is a sense, and I got that from talking with David Critchley, that he feels pretty comfortable the way things are. And he's put it out there. He's not shying away saying that he wants the job. I think that's going to be something for them to decide. But in the longer scheme of things, are you going to go with someone who's gotten the MLS experience, whether it be at the technical level or the coaching level? And there have been names that have been tossed around out there. So there's a lot of white noise in the background. I think for that to come to fruition, you have a short off season with which to deal with. You have to feel like how you want to operate as a club, the way you want to play. Is that going to continue? I think the stability of having a John Hackworth who's in that position, who has been in the interim role, who's coached in the league, is a helpful transition for that. And one that they could have looked to him to be in this interim situation after the Olof Mellberg stuff didn't work out. But they gave a young guy a shot in David Critchley. And whether he gets the job going forward or not, it's going to set himself up well to be in good stead if it's in MLS or in another part of the professional world of coaching. But for St. Louis, I think knowing that identity and what core people do you want to keep the team based around going forward into 2026? Because, look, Leuven, I think for me, is the bread and butter of the team, but his health is obviously a concern, or whether he can stay healthy now that he's been in a run of form of games. I think you can see where the attack really hums. I think where some of these guys are bought into the way they're playing under David Critchley. And that's what they're going to have to identify, whether he's the guy or if not, they're going to have to make that decision relatively quickly in the off season to build upon what they want to do in terms of turning this thing around in 26.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of really dumb things down here, but you look at the way things are going right now. You mentioned the three straight 3-2 losses, and I mean, they've had some bad luck go against them. They had a penalty call where basically the league has said it shouldn't have been called that way. When you are struggling, you don't get good luck either. Bad luck always goes along with teams that are struggling. To get out of that, does it come down to putting together an effort, but also hoping that luck starts to kind of go in the other direction all at the same time?
Yeah, I think so. But look, you've got a little bit of a blueprint of what this thing could really look like or when they've played well. The beginning of the Nashville game, in fact, the majority of the Nashville game, I thought they were sensational coming out of the League's Cup window, which they obviously didn't participate in. But that's a contender who was in the race for the Shield not too long ago in Nashville. And they took their licks from St. Louis in that game. And I think there have been spells and moments like in Chicago or even in Vancouver in the way they started. And you're referencing the ending of that game and the re-refereeing of it, to which, you know, that's the nuts and bolts sometimes of things that go against you. And in a lost season, it's only kind of amplified and magnified. But I look at a game that the last St. Louis game that I did, Minnesota, where they played exceptionally well. And then Durkin comes on, you have the red card, and it flips around in the last 15 minutes. I think when you've gotten a group of players that, one, have started to identify the way you want to play, well, now you got to have that sensation, especially with some of the young players, of how to figure out how to win and closing out some of these games where they've had leads. And outside of the Houston game, you can look at Vancouver. You can look at Nashville, Minnesota. Nashville, they obviously won, but circumstances where they had leads in those games. Chicago on the road had a lead in that game. So figuring out a way to close that out, maybe you're feeling a little bit different, even though the playoffs were going to be a long shot. So there's a lot to like in this current curriculum of games coming out of League's Cup from them, to where I think they can build upon that. But if you're looking at maybe a litmus test of what it could look like consistently, then I would refer back to that Nashville game right out of League's Cup and how they played in handling one of the better teams in the East.
Odd question. I'll finish you off with this, because here in St. Louis, MLS soccer is still something that is relatively new. And for me personally, sure, I'm still kind of getting used to the rhythm of the season. It's such a long mm-hmm. season, but here we're talking, and the city's got six games left. There's just over 6 weeks left in the year. And it felt like a minute ago we were talking about, well, there's still plenty of time for this team to find their way and still sneak into the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, that's just not a thing. As someone who calls games on an every week basis, does the end of the season kind of sneak up on you the way it feels that way for me right now?
It does. It does. Like, we had all this congestion of League's Cup games, and whether you're a participating team or not, at least in this year's version, and that's all kind of crunched into the schedule. And we're talking about all these teams that may have set themselves up well for the back half. But now, a team like St. Louis, where, yeah, you're thinking, all right, it's not going to happen, but they're not mathematically eliminated yet. I think that's the second life of what this season gives you, to the fact that, sure, it's still an extremely long shot, but a team like Dallas, for instance, has a new lease on what they think this season could be after things don't work out with Lucho Acosta. And now they feel like they're starting to put it together, and this is a game in hand that they have on much of the West. And I think for those who have hung around the 500 mark, this is where things get really exciting, just because maybe they're not the teams that are going to make a deep run in the postseason, but us as Americans, we love the playoff model and the format. I've always been in favor of that, just being a guy that grew up going to so many high-stakes games in the NBA or the NFL. Like, I've embraced the postseason aspect of MLS, and whether that's a wild card game or a series, the opportunity to have so many teams that are in play to have a shot at that, whether it's going to be a short life in the postseason or not, makes it all the more valuable here over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And, you know, even if St. Louis, if a few of those games go their way, they could be even thinking beyond what the circumstances present themselves right now, where they sit next to last in the West. But that's the thing. They can be spoilers to so many teams that still, like a Dallas, have a shot going into this weekend.
Neil Seeker will be on the call on MLS Season Pass, Apple TV. If you haven't made the plunge yet, take a look. Especially here in the final part of the season, maybe you can pick up another team that's more likely to be in the playoffs, and you can watch their full playoff coverage as well. They do an incredible job covering the sport, not just with the game broadcast, but the studio shows, all the other content. Pretty remarkable what they've been able to do in building this product in a very short amount of time. Neil, thank you so much for the time. Have a great call, and we'll catch up with you again down the line.
Appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's Neil Seeker joining us on the program. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left here in hour number one of the program. We're going to do a lot of college football in hour number two. It is a big weekend from a college football standpoint, most notably the Mizzou-Kansas game, as the border showdown is set to resume. First time these two teams have matched up against each other since Missouri left the Big 12 for the SEC, so that's going to be a lot of fun, and people are pretty jacked up for that. And then number 11 Illinois football this weekend, they're going to go on the road to take on Duke. On paper, that looks like a pretty good game. So we're going to talk with folks who cover both of those teams coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, and looking forward to doing that as at 7:05, so just after the 7 o'clock news. We're going to talk with Natalie Jones, and then at about 7:20, we're going to talk with Glenn Kinley, a couple TV reporters covering those two programs, and that's going to be coming up in just a while. We'll continue to talk Cardinals baseball. The overwhelming narrative and conversation and topic that we have had for really since the trade deadline is what can you accomplish here during this final time left in the season, especially if they're not going to be a playoff club. And I thought yesterday was an important day because we've seen Matthew Liberatore start to bounce back. I know there are people out there, and this is one area that I actually was not in on. I have felt very, very, very good about the future prospects of Matthew Liberatore and him seemingly hitting that wall. For me, it was simply connected to the fact that he was being asked to do something that he had never really been able to do before. So that's and just not able to do, had been asked to do. That's the better way to say it. So he was going through something, and he was, you know, pushing his body in a way that he had not pushed it in a baseball season before. So, yeah, you hit a little bit of a wall. He has come out of that. He has gotten marginally better his last few times out. He gets out of the fifth inning and records an out in the sixth inning for the first time since late June. He wins a game for the first time since late June. And there's going to be value in this because now all you got to do is kind of keep him where he's at, get him through the end of this season, keep him healthy, and let him go into that season, into the offseason, and hopefully he is better set up for next year. So that's an example of things being accomplished here in the final month or so of the season. We'll talk more about that a little bit coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. That's coming up right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Our Graybar Sports Open Line does continue here on KMOX as we get into hour number two of the program. It is a Strike Zone hour. We will get back into baseball coming up in just a little while. But lots of things going on in the world of college football here throughout the area. And none bigger this weekend than a rivalry renewed as Mizzou and Kansas are going to match up against each other. It's been a while. It's been since Missouri left the Big 12 for the SEC. But now the team's on the non-conference schedule, and very happy to welcome back on to the show, sports director at ABC 17 covering Missouri football. She is Natalie Jones. Natalie, thanks for taking some time with us tonight. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's a big week. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Just can you speak to me about the feeling in Columbia as this huge rivalry does return and the excitement that goes along with it?
There's a buzz for sure. It's a palpable vibe in Columbia. You can't go anywhere with really hearing about it. You know, the people are excited. SEC Nation just showed up here today for their pregame show that they're going to have here in Columbia, and the setup for that kind of makes it all feel more real. I feel like to the students, I've seen some students running around crossing out all the K's on all the signs on campus. So it's pretty fun to have this back. I mean, you can feel the energy all week.
Yeah, it's something that from a national standpoint, maybe people don't realize what this rivalry means. And I read that Paul Feinbaum was instrumental in making sure that SEC Nation did indeed come to Columbia. But it's been a while since this rivalry has been played. That kind of results in people not thinking about it, but it doesn't get much more hatred between than you have with Missouri and Kansas.
Well, exactly. I mean, I've been talking to coaches and players for about a month now, kind of in the lead up to this game, and I asked them, I was like, do you think there's going to be a ramp up at all to like maybe getting fans back into this? And they're like, no, if you look on social media for the past decade, more than a decade, people are still like fueling that hatred and that dislike for each other. It just wasn't in a game setting. You saw it with basketball. It came back, you know, stronger than ever. I feel like you're going to have the same vibe with football. I don't think it's going to take too long to jump back into it.
I thought it was interesting that coaches from both sides talked about the fact that they brought in former players to discuss what this rivalry means because, yeah, fans and people in the area understand it, but for the players, it's important that they understand that this is not just another game on the schedule.
Well, exactly. And, you know, that was instrumental. Eli Drinkwitz talked to me about that this summer, you know, having people in that really just understand the rivalry on a different level. You know, he had historians that actually talked to them about dating back to the 1800s where this rivalry actually stemmed from, right? But I think some of the most inspiring stuff they had came from guys like Andy Hill, former coaches that came in and talked really fiery about this rivalry. And I think that's exactly what these players needed. And like you touched on, these guys, you know, they're from all over the country. They don't necessarily know what this is all about. And some of them might have seen a glimpse with basketball. But on the flip side of this, I almost think that might be to their advantage a little bit, because when you think about going into a game with these kind of implications for the state of Missouri, if you're just sitting out there thinking about how big this game is, it might not be to their advantage either.
I'm going to put you on the spot here for just a second. If you don't have the details on this, that's fine. But just for people who are going to the game, there's going to be – they're doing something because of the construction with where you have to go into the game depending on where your tickets are. Is that correct?
They are, yeah. So last time, you know, we've been talking to Athletic Director Laird Beach this summer really about what they were going to do with this north end zone construction. And they made it pretty clear ahead of the first game, you know, enter on the side of the stadium where your ticket's on. If you're on the east side, go to the E gates, west side, the W gates. I think people maybe didn't clearly get the message. There was a lot of, you know, lackluster kind of attitude and traffic in the concourse. And I think a lot of people got stuck there last game. So they're actually, you're not going to be able to get into the gate if it's not on the right side of the stadium that you're supposed to be on.
I'm sure that's going to work out great, and nobody's going to get upset when they're denied entry.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it's just going to be perfect. And I assume that Missouri has also told people, I mean, that intersection in that area can be tough on a normal game day. Then you've got the construction project going on, and you've got everything going on with this one. I would think fans showing up early is probably something that would be good for them to do.
100%. I would take advantage. I mean, the gates are open 30 minutes earlier than normal. And, you know, my parents are heading out to the game. I told them, I was like, guys, get there the full 2 hours early, get inside, get your drinks, go to the bathroom, whatever you need. Get inside the stadium the second you can. That's my advice.
We're talking with Natalie Jones, looking forward to Missouri and Kansas coming up on Saturday. Backup quarterback Sam Horn, he's going to be out for a while, unspecified leg injury. It happened kind of in a weird way in the first week. Do you get any type of sense on if we'll see Horn again this year? The old indefinitely, you don't really, and it didn't look great when it happened. So what's your sense? What's your feeling when it comes to Sam Horn?
Well, it's, you know, they're always going to play things very close to the vest. It's kind of the nature of things with this program, with injuries especially. You know, Eli Drinkwitz said he wasn't going to get into a timeline. He said he's out indefinitely. If I just totally from a me guessing sense, I would guess that we don't see Sam again this year. That's just my personal guess. You know, obviously he was drafted by the Dodgers. I think it would be not the smartest move for him to go back out there, especially if this is a substantial leg injury. I don't know. It doesn't sound like it was an ACL tear like what happened to kicker Blake Craig, but it sounds like obviously if he's going to be out for an extended period of time, it was something substantial. So just for his future, I don't know if we're going to see him out on the football field again. I know he's a great teammate. He's going to be around his team, but just from my personal perspective, I don't know if we'll get to see him, you know, take the field in the black and gold again.
You mentioned Blake Craig. He's out for the rest of the season, a torn ACL. So now they're in a situation where they've got a true freshman in Robert Meyer who is going to be serving in that capacity. What is the confidence level that you feel like the coaching staff has in Meyer?
I feel like they're pretty confident. I mean, we were asking kind of, does the game plan change? You know, when you have a true freshman kicker who's untested, that's a natural question to ask. And Drinkwitz was saying he's not going to go into the game and assume this kid can't do what the team needs him to do. He's done it in practice. He's done it in fall camp. So I think until something happens, until there's a critical missed kick or until there's something of that nature, they're going to go into this with all the confidence in the world. My perspective on this is it might be a little bit like Blake Craig last year. You know, I think Robert Meyer is the true freshman. He does have a lot of talent. I think there's just going to kind of be the adjustment of going into the SEC, going into a game setting where the pressure is all on you. That's going to be the biggest change for him. You saw that get to Blake Craig a few times last year. So I think it could be pretty similar to what we saw last season.
From a defensive standpoint there, they've got a quarterback that they're facing off against who provides a challenge in Jalen Daniels. Sixth season at Kansas. He's a dual threat guy, can use his feet, can throw it a little bit around as well. What's been the message about what they want to do defensively to try to contain him a bit?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing that they told us is just play their game, you know, and that's such coach speak, obviously, but I think in this case, it's right. You know, this is defense that I think we got to just see a glimpse of the depth it has. And when you look at that front seven, especially, I mean, my goodness, you see Chris McClellan and, you know, obviously the defensive ends. We saw Damon Wilson have a 2-sack game last time out, Zion Young. I just think they have so much up front, right there, right off the bat. This defense is really loaded, and I think we've been talking Jalen Daniels all week long, and rightfully so. He's a talented young man, but I do think this Mizzou defense, they reloaded from last season. There's a lot of guys there who's played a lot of college football, so and a lot of guys, honestly, who have experience with Jalen Daniels. Look at Jalen Catalan. He has some personal one-on-one knowledge with Jalen Daniels, played him last season. So I think he's the guy they've been leaning on as well to kind of give them the lowdown on what to expect from Mr. Daniels.
Do you like the way the schedule is set up where last week they had Central Arkansas, a team they should be able to win pretty easily. Next week they'll match up against Louisiana, same deal, and that will lead into conference play. And then this very, very, very big, tough non-conference game kind of sandwiched in between those two?
I like it from a perspective of, you know, it kind of gets, especially when you have so much newness on a team, it's you have the ability to kind of get your feet wet, right? You're not going into a game like LSU week one has Clemson, right? You're not going into a game and kind of getting thrown in the fire like that immediately. I do think there are disadvantages to it as well because, you know, you kind of had, let's say, an easier game in week one, and you kind of have this start and stop a little bit. You're going to have a tough game this week. Then you're going to go back to a game you should win handily again in Louisiana. I don't know how well it prepares you for SEC play. I guess we're going to find out, but I do think there are advantages and disadvantages to it.
She is Natalie Jones, native St. Louis, and working in mid-Missouri right now as the sports director for ABC 17. You can follow her on Twitter at NatalieABC 17. You should note she spells her first name with an H, N-A-T-H-A-L-I-E. So just remember that, or you can just see the tweet that we sent out earlier today for the show. Natalie, thank you so much. Enjoy the game this weekend, and hopefully we can catch up with you again down the line.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Awesome. That's Natalie Jones joining us on the program, and we appreciate her spending a few moments with us today. All right, so that's the Missouri side of things. How about the Illinois side of things? This is a team that right now looks like they are a legitimate contender for the college football playoff. We'll talk about them with Glenn Kinley. He's going to join us coming up in just a moment or so. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Now, back to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It is a Graybar Sports Open Line, a Strike Zone hour of the program. Glad to have you with us. What's on Deck is presented by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best. A bunch of things are on deck from a Cardinal standpoint. They're going to match up against the San Francisco Giants in a three-game series that starts tomorrow. That is going to include the 1985 championship team being honored this weekend. And, of course, the Cardinal Hall of Fame festivities will be going on Saturday. What a great class. Walt Jocketty, who passed away recently but was the architect of those Cardinals teams starting in the mid-90s and moving forward, and then Edgar Renteria, just an incredible shortstop for the club, and Auerbach as well. I think everybody is just so incredibly happy that the Mad Hungarian Auerbach has been selected for induction, and rightfully so. So we'll talk some more Cardinals baseball in just a little while, but right now happy to be able to go back to the guest line and welcome on to the program. He is Glenn Kinley. He is the sports director at WCIA3 in the Champaign area in Central Illinois. You follow him on Twitter at Glenn_Kinley. Glenn, appreciate you taking some time with us. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Appreciate you having me on, man. Exciting time of year for just about anybody that you ask, whether you're an NFL fan or a college football fan. Certainly the Illini fans are fired up after a week one win. So things are good in Champaign.
Yeah, one-sided victory against Western Illinois, as it should be, with all due respect to the folks there at Western Illinois. But it gets a lot tougher this weekend as they're going to travel to Duke. And this is an Illinois team. It's been a while since they've won against a power conference team on the road in non-conference play. It's been a bit. So even though it's just week number two, from my perspective, it almost feels like an early season litmus test. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, it's certainly, sometimes you get a few weeks to ramp up, but Illinois had a similar thing last year, not on the road, but at home, and played Kansas at home. I believe that was week two, and that was a big win. Of course, the program went on to win 10 games last year, and you feel different about this week two game than you did last year. Maybe fans are even more confident entering this one, even though last year's was at home, just because of that season that they have. But this is not an easy game. I think it's a field goal spread, and you're talking about, you mentioned it, going on the road, tough place to play. Obviously, Mensa is a really good quarterback. He was one of the biggest quarterback names in the portal, so he's going to be tough to slow down. And you got a number, you got a number of returners for Illinois, but you got some new faces as well. And so we saw him play a lot of guys last week, and you really don't put too much stock into that because they played so many guys that we'll find out maybe this week when push comes to shove who's on the field then. Then we'll learn a lot.
The last time Illinois beat a non-conference, power conference team on the road was in 2007 when they won at Syracuse 41-20. That was a Ron Zook team there. I guess that doesn't really, the failures of the past does not impact the current team, but does that just kind of add another wrinkle to this whole thing that if this team wants to differentiate itself from some of these other teams, and you just mentioned a home win that was home game that was important last year, but just being able to prove that they can win these type of games, what does that do for this team when they are eventually playing important league games and on the road?
Yeah, well, it does a lot, and you're talking about, it feels like we say that stuff so often. Illinois hasn't done this since this year. And there's so many things they're accomplishing that they haven't accomplished in roughly two decades. Yeah. That 07, 08 was a lot of it. And so sold out another game today. The USC game, the homecoming game, is sold out. First time they've had three sellouts in two-plus decades. And so it feels like we're hearing that stuff all the time. And I think more than anything, I think a win this weekend would just be big for confidence. They lost – not a lot, but you lost Pat Bryant, who was your guy last year, right? And so going out, showing that the wide receivers can make plays, they look great in week one, but as you mentioned, they probably should have, right? And so I think a win, and then you get Western Michigan the following week, and if you can go through that stretch and enter conference play 3-0, you're going to be a top 10 team, and I think the confidence will follow suit. Winning and the energy and emotion that comes with it is contagious. I think we saw the uptick in the energy and the confidence of this team when they beat Kansas last year. I think we saw it when they beat Nebraska early on in conference play. And so that stuff early on, just it goes a long way from a competence perspective. They can tell you, yeah, we're going to be the same team. We're going to show up and prepare for week three the same way, regardless of what happens at Duke. And I'm sure they would. I don't think that's a lie. But there's a different energy and swagger when you keep climbing up that AP poll and when you can say that you're unbeaten going into conference play. And so this is a significant game, especially you're talking about an Illinois team that, you know, they're ranked 11th in the country right now. They have playoff hopes. And so do you care about conference play? Absolutely you do. But you have much less room for error in conference play if you drop one this weekend.
You mentioned the sellout. Have fans totally bought in on this team?
Yeah, man, I they really have. And it's been really interesting to see. I've only been working here at Channel 3 in Champaign for just over a year. And even in the year that I've been here, the fan support and how riled up these folks are has just grown dramatically. Won 10 games last year, and Brett Bielema has really, really raised the expectations for fans here in Champaign. I think when he got hired, or even a year or two ago, maybe even still now for some fans. But people said, if we get a guy that wins six games a year, gives us a bowl game on the regular, we'll give the guy a lifetime contract. Mm-hmm. And now I think you got fans who are expecting 9, 10, maybe even 11 wins this year. And that's saying something. That's territory that Illinois fans not only didn't expect, maybe didn't even think was realistic a few years ago. And now he's got a team where you have Illinois fans who are showing up, who are excited, and who really truly believe that their team can be in the playoff. And that's a conversation that wasn't being had a couple of years ago. It wouldn't have been realistic or even thought about.
All starts with the quarterback, and Illinois got a good one in Luke Altmyer this past weekend. Didn't have to do a lot, 217 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He'll use his feet on occasion. Just how good can he be? And like, this is kind of a dumb question, but can you just speak to the what he has to do to make sure that this Illinois team can reach these expectations that we're talking about right now?
Yeah, I think Luke's best when he plays within himself, right? I think he's best when the guys on the rest of the guys on the field are making plays and he's allowing them to make plays and he doesn't feel like he has to do too much or do anything ridiculously crazy. That would be maybe the knock on Luke, would be like, well, he doesn't have a ton of insane plays where you say, how on earth did he do that? But if they're winning football games, and maybe that's why he's so good, is because he isn't trying to do anything crazy. And he can run and he can use his legs at time. I know they're going to try to keep him safe and keep him from taking too many hits. But I think Luke is aware of the playmakers he has around him. And they got a couple really good running backs. They got 5 starting offensive linemen back who have played a ton of football. And I think he trusts those guys around him. And I think he is just a confident cat right now, in part because of the step that he took last year, which was a significant one. But also I think he's aware of the guys he has around him. And he's aware that I don't have to be Superman for us to win, right? And he has the pieces around him where if Luke Altmyer plays good football, they're going to win most games. If Luke Altmyer plays great football, they're going to win more than just most games. They're going to win a ton of football games. And so I think he's best when he's himself, when he's not trying to overdo it. And I think he's just really grown into that mindset of just being Luke Altmyer and being himself and taking what's given to him and probably not forcing it, right? And knowing the awareness and the IQ, I think, is there even more than it was last year. Probably too early for me to say that, but I just said it anyway. But I think, you know, knowing he took a sack last week that he knew he shouldn't have took, right? And I think he learned from that stuff and knowing where the sticks are. And, you know, we're still learning maybe who will be his go-to guy in that receiving game. Hank Beatty looked really good last week. They used a lot of the tight ends. So we're still learning that stuff. But he's a leader of this team, and I think he takes it upon himself to get the other guys acquainted, get the other guys comfortable. And in a way, I think – when they go, he goes, if that makes sense, and vice versa. But when he knows those guys are going to make plays and when he knows that they got his back, he gets that much better when he trusts the guys around him, and I think he does right now.
Just a couple more moments with Glenn Kinley, sports director with WCIA Channel 3, covering Illinois athletics. To take a step back and look at the schedule, I mean, you look at the Big Ten this year, And is the three teams at the top with number one Ohio State, number two Penn State, number six Oregon. The Illinois schedule is set up right now. They do have a game against Ohio State, but the only other ranked team right now, and there could be some other teams that move into the rankings, is number 23 Indiana. Considering they play in the Big Ten, how good the Big Ten is this year, it feels like the schedule certainly gives them a pathway to something special.
Yeah, so you avoid Oregon, you avoid Penn State, you avoid Michigan, but I've been telling people, man, and I agree with you that they could have something special. I'm not disagreeing with that at all, but I just think there's a number of games on this schedule. There may be less games on this schedule than the average year that you look at and say, that's probably a loss. We might not have that one. There's less of those, but there are a bunch of games that you say, that's not an easy game. That's not an easy game. You go to Indiana, that's a tough one. Duke this weekend is a tough one. Host USC is a tough one. Obviously Ohio State, but then you go to Washington, you go to Wisconsin. Like, you got a number of challenging games, but to your point, there are very few games, probably just one game, that really looks like that's unlikely that we win that one. And of course, as I say that, I'm sure any Illini fans listening will say, hold on a minute, we beat the reigning national champions last year. But there's only really that one game on the schedule that you think Illinois will certainly be an underdog in. But there are a number of games that you say, that's not a gimme either.
Yeah. That's fair. That's very fair. Glenn Kinley does a great job covering a lot of things going on in Central Illinois, but including University of Illinois athletics. You should follow him on Twitter at Glenn_Kinley. He's always posting videos. Most recent video is Brett Bielema talking about the sellout that he just mentioned with us. Glenn, we always appreciate taking some time. Enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll talk to you on occasion if you're all right with it during the course of football and basketball seasons.
Hey, absolutely. Anytime. Always enjoy talking to you. I appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. Very good. That's Glenn Kinley. Does a fantastic job working for WCIA Channel 3, and we appreciate him spending some time with us. We'll take another break. We'll get back into the Cardinals a bit, and then we'll make way for City Spotlight. Jen Cease is going to be in here for our final segment to preview what's going on there. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Now, back to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
We are back at it as we roll on through a Thursday night. No Cardinals baseball this evening. Jen Cease is going to be here with City Spotlight. That's going to begin after the 8 o'clock news. We talked a little City earlier. Another 3-2 loss this past weekend. They're going to match up against Dallas at home coming up on Saturday night. See if they get things going. See if they can find some momentum here in the final six games of the season before they go into the offseason, the very quick offseason. And then before you know it, they're going to be starting next season once again with a new sporting director. Hopefully they have a new sporting director in place by the time next season gets started and a coaching situation that's settled as well. We'll talk more about that with Jen coming up here in just a little while. Cardinals baseball, they get the win yesterday. They take 2 of 3 from the A's. A couple things that I wanted to get to real quick, and Kevin Wheeler and I have discussed this a fair amount on Redbird Rush Hour, and I'm not just trying to repeat things that were said previously, but I keep seeing something that I can't disagree with more vehemently, so I'm going to bring it back up just to kind of bring home the point once again. And there's a lot of fans out there, because the Jordan Walker thing has obviously been the number one storyline, and it's fun when KMOX is kind of the conversation starter for something, and we were when Brent Brown came on the Gas House Gang along with Oliver Marmol on Tuesday and made some very telling comments about Jordan Walker and the team as a whole. Like, the one thing I kind of feel bad about the way this story has gone along is Jordan Walker has been so singled out in all of it because there were a couple things said by Brown about Walker. But honestly, if we're taking a step back and looking at the impact of the words that were spoken by Brent Brown, we probably should be more focused on some of the things he said about the entire team as opposed to some of the things he said specifically about one single player. All that being said, there seems to be this narrative out there, and there's a good chance that you agree with this, that the Cardinals messed Jordan Walker up, that they should have just let him be when he got to the big leagues. He was on that hit streak early on. Yeah, he was not hitting the ball in the air, yada, yada, yada. But the Cardinals messed him up by starting to tweak his swing when he got to the big leagues, where they should have just let it be. I disagree on a few things. And I'll start with, I will parrot something that Kevin Wheeler says because he's right and he's the better one compared to me to speak on this. But it's a really good point. Jordan Walker's swing has not changed. Some other things have changed. His stance has changed. Where he sets up in the box has changed, but the actual swing has not changed. So when we talk about the Cardinals tweaking the swing, if we want to be very literal about that, they haven't. Now, you might be listening and going, well, it's all one thing. If you're setting up in the box in a different spot, you might include that under the swing umbrella. Okay, that's fine. I'm not here to argue that. If you want to go there, that's fine. It's from a very technical standpoint not correct, but I understand why you feel that way, and I'm not going to yell at you over it. But what I might yell at you a little bit about is the idea that if the Cardinals had not tried to get Walker to change some things, that he would be producing at a higher level right now. That is a false belief. I don't like to tell you what's right and what's wrong that often, but I'll tell you that one's wrong. Because what happened was the league adjusted to Walker. Walker got here. He was getting some hits early on in his big league career. He was making contact at a pretty high rate. We know with Walker, when he makes contact, there's a good chance it's going to be a hit, whether it's on the ground or on the air, because of his ability to just hit the ball so darn hard. We know that. So the league adjusted to Walker. So whether the Cardinals would have just said, okay, Jordan, keep doing what you're doing and we are not going to give you any coaching, or if they've done what they've done where they have tried to get him to make some adjustments, and based off some of the comments made by Brent Brown, it feels like he's not exactly gone along for that ride. Whatever it is, the idea that if they wouldn't have changed him or tried to change him, however you view it, that he would be continuing to at least get base hits. It's just not true. It is simply a false statement because the league has adjusted to him. And that's what happens in baseball. That is one of the most challenging things about this game of baseball. That's why there are very few things in athletics that is more impressive than a baseball player who can remain consistent. Because no matter how long your career is filled with the league adjusting to you and you adjusting to the league, and it happening in real time over and over and over and over again. It just never, ever stops. That's why video can be a tool. Video also at times can be a bit of a data overload, and you have to watch that. But guys get adjusted to you. All of a sudden, you're going to find a hole in somebody's swing. The pitchers adjust to it, and then very quickly on the fly, you have to adjust back in the other direction. And when people make these comments that, oh, if the Cardinals wouldn't have touched Jordan Walker, he'd be fine, it's just dismissing years and years and years of data that good hitters have to adjust their swings because they are being adjusted to constantly. So that bugs me a little bit just when I hear that, and I think it's something that I'll probably repeat it again because it's something that's worth talking about. And when we're going through the overall storyline that is everything that's happening right now with Jordan Walker, I think we need to come at it from a position of truth and accuracy and just where does he go from here? And I don't completely know the answer to that question. I know right now he's one of the worst hitters in all of Major League Baseball. No matter what metric you look at, he is one of the single worst hitters in Major League Baseball. Yet at the same time, he has some tools, he has some underlying numbers that would allow him to be a truly special hitter if he could ever put it all together. And the first thing is just the pitch recognition. Being able to realize what you should swing at and what you shouldn't swing at. And right now, it doesn't feel like he has much of a clue because he keeps swinging at pitches that he has no business swinging at, and he keeps not making contact. And as long as he continues to do that, he's not going to have much of a future. He's not going to be able to turn this thing around. And that's going to be the question for him moving forward. And at some point you would think that when you're a big league hitter and you look up and you've got an OPS that's below 600, like that's you don't want to be Jordan Walker, who's got every tool in the world to be one of the best hitters in all of Major League Baseball. And you're like the 250th ranked hitter in Major League Baseball by most metrics. That's not what you want. And at some point, the realization of what I'm doing isn't working, so let's listen to somebody else and just try something else. That would be the thing that I would hope he would go for, because again, going back to what Brant Brown said earlier, doesn't seem like it's going that way. But the future of Jordan Walker very much up in the air. I don't think anything is guaranteed for him coming up next year. Speaking of the future, building the future and where Jordan Walker fits and all that, it is being brought to you by Graybar. Graybar is headquartered in St. Louis and is a great place to work. We are going to take one more break, and then when we return, Jen Cease is going to join us. We'll get her thoughts on where City SC is at right now, what they can still accomplish in their final six games of the season. That's up next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Now, back to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
We are starting to wrap up the program, but you don't want to go anywhere because Jen Cease is going to be up with City Spotlight in just a few moments. Jen, she's going to join us right now. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
That was a great introduction, wasn't it? My words are going all over the place. But
do you know, as a sports parent, what I'm doing right now, besides talking to you, I'm checking one of my kids in to go to urgent care to get a foot x-ray.
Oh, fun. Because
he plays high school freshman soccer, and, okay, you know, maybe we broke a toe.
All right.
That's my night after this.
I was getting text messages from my wife where my six-year-old daughter, who has been
scoring goals,
terrible at soccer in her life,
bite your tongue.
Hasn't cared. Like, it's been so much fun watching her, but literally she just runs around on the field and maybe once every other game will, like, touch the ball.
As
tonight's her
be.
First practice, and she's just like knocking in goal after goal after goal.
Boom.
And it's good. Saturday morning's her first game, so now I've got very high expectations for what I'm going to see from
your
my
wife.
Six-year-old.
Never should have told you
she
that.
She should not have, because I'm going to be looking for some
goal
scoring coming up
on
Saturday morning.
Is she striking it on the laces?
Yeah, so she's the next Mia Hamm, I guess. Speaking of all that, your daughter this past week made an announcement on where she was going to be continuing her college, her soccer career at college. And I just, from a parent's standpoint, what's that process like where, and especially now in the NIL era where there's other stuff going on, but your daughter had offers from a number of schools and she makes that decision and it's a really cool celebration for her, but it's got to be an awesome thing for you as well who've watched the entire process.
It's overwhelming. Like I see, and every parent seems to have a different process. I know of friends who stayed in the room while she had conversations and like took notes, or we stayed out. She really did most of this herself, which I think is, I'm really proud of her for that. And she handled asking good questions, had hard conversations, and she had to, of course, not only accept, but she had to turn some people down and handled that. And it's just, it's wild ride and really overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. That would be the hard part for me. Like I was a terrible athlete in high school, and my athletic career was going to end the moment I graduated high school. But the idea that you have a lot of really cool people from a lot of really different places who all want you, and you can only choose one. It's not like only one is good and the other ones are bad. You've got to say no to some really wonderful people.
Yeah, some of them are competitors, actually, and really good records itself. But also, she doesn't know yet what she wants to be when she grows up. So you go into a place that has a good education, the environment. You got to live there, and you have to go to school. So all those big decisions. It was really cool. I feel still like the process is so early. It was much later when I was in school. Mm-hmm. She's a junior now, and it started on June 15th of the summer, and so it's been kind of crazy.
And some of these kids are committing early.
She's a little bit later compared to some of her counterparts on her team, but feels really good with her pick and seems kind of settled, and hopefully all goes well.
Another 3-2 loss for City this past weekend.
Did you have to bring that up?
Yeah, well, you're about to talk about it for an hour.
Do it for a whole hour.
I'm just wedging you in there.
Yeah, that was a tough one for sure. It was one of those teams where, it's kind of one of those formulas where I think City have a 60% possession rate. One of those teams that sat back and said, here you go. What are you going to do with the ball? And so City has, got to kind of solve that being good with the ball, not just when they transition.
Yeah. It's it just feels like a lost season.
Well, 6 games left. I can't believe we'll highlight our player profile with Henry Kessler, who we talked to in the very first pregame player profile back in February when it was freezing cold. And he has some really good perspective on the season of how quickly it's gone and how what's just left and what they have left to play for.
Yeah, I talked with Neil Sika from Apple earlier in the show today, and I asked him, it wasn't that long ago that the narrative is, hey, there's still enough season left to turn this thing around.
Yeah, and we did that for a long time, it feels like.
Yes, and then snap a finger, and there's no longer enough season left. It comes up on you quick.
Yeah, when you look at the standings, there's only two teams right now that have that little E next to them, meaning they've been eliminated, and that's DC United and Montreal. LA Galaxy doesn't have it yet, even though they're 2 points under City right now, and City doesn't have it yet. I have to imagine in the next game or two. I don't know when statistically that happens. All the stats people can do that. But it does feel like that, and nobody wants to finish with the wooden spoon, the last, as they call it.
We got about a minute left. What do you have coming up on the show tonight?
Yeah, so of course we'll revisit some of the things that were said at the press conference today with David Critchley and Marcel Hartl, along with Dale Schilly, come along, do his analysis. Matt Baker from the Flyover Footy podcast will be along, and then of course we'll hear Henry Kessler's player profile.
Awesome, very good. We'll be listening.
Thanks.
That's Jen C. She's got City Spotlight. That's going to be coming up after the 8 o'clock news, so you'll definitely want to stay tuned for that. Tomorrow, this is going to be a really cool weekend. I know attendance is down this year for the Cardinals. I would just encourage you to get out there and support a couple things. The 85 team that's being honored, and then the Cardinals Hall of Famers. That celebration is going to take place, and the induction is going to take place on Saturday, posthumously for Walt Jocketty, and then with Edgar Renteria and Al Roboski. Hopefully we see some really, really good crowds at Busch Stadium this weekend to honor a group of people that absolutely deserve to be honored. I'll talk to you again tomorrow at 5 o'clock for Redbird Rush Hour. City Spotlight on the way next, right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What we all miss the most is the food.
The Chinese food.
Any decent Chinese food or pizza. New York City pizza.
I'm not driving 35 minutes for a decent slice of pizza, okay?
There's no pizza. There's no bagels.
The bagels.
Man, I miss some bacon, egg, and cheeses, man.
I have 3 Thai places on my block.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.